Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Roto Grinders, food for thought. Fresh off the bye week. Happy holidays, happy Thanksgiving. You know, we got some energy coming off the bye week. We got the game plan. The team always plays better with more rest. Good to see you, Will Priester. Happy belated Thanksgiving. And I guess we're already entering the Christmas season, but depending on who you talk to, we've been in that before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, happy Thanksgiving. And holidays, Christmas coming up to everyone. And this should be a fun pod. You know, a lot of interesting things happened between Thursday and today. And, you know, once again, man, the NFL proves yet again how it can be turned on its head. With a few games going against the grain, and that's the beauty of the NFL. So many interesting things happened this week. Like I said, between Thursday and all the games, between Mike Wright starting, Justin Fields sitting, you know, the Ravens go down, the Cardinals go down on a buzzer beater. The Raiders win in overtime in a big, big, big win. Dolphins just don't play their starters in the second half. I mean, it was a lot this week, man. You know, Baltimore goes down. And I know I'm kind of doing this overall, you know, overarching recap, and then I'm sure we'll dig in. Don't look now. The Bills struggled against the Lions somewhat. You know, the Eagles were in a dogfight for a little while. It's interesting week for the NFL. Lucha, I'm going to let you take this thing out of here because I know a sore spot for you is the Titans losing on a special teams penalty. Man, just so many interesting things happen over the course of the week. Did I mention the Browns winning in overtime? That's another one. I mean, a whole lot of controversy and trivial times in the NFL. I'm just going to hand it back over to you, man, and we'll just dissect this thing piece by piece.
Yeah, the past 2 weeks have been crazy. And yes, happy holidays, whatever you're celebrating. We talked on a couple podcasts ago. I am Jewish, but I grew up doing a little bit of Christmas. My dad was Catholic, so Hanukkah is on the 18th, and they kind of overlap this year. So it's one of those rare years. I'll probably get together with my family, and I don't know, maybe we'll exchange pairs of socks or something. I'm not super religious, but we like to get together for the camaraderie. You know, my grandparents did their thing, and they were a little more invested in it, and I respect that. And maybe we'll get some brisket and some potato pancakes or whatever. But the holiday season is here, and people are in the midst of it. Whew, football has been a blast. By the way, regular season annual leagues are winding down. You probably have 2 weeks left in the regular season if you're playing season long. And of course, best balls are starting to wrap up. We're starting to get a clearer picture of some playoff scenarios and some hypotheticals, which are a ton of fun. So let's talk about the New York Jets first, because the decision that Robert Saleh had to make was probably one of the top two toughest decisions a head coach has had to make this season, in my opinion. Do you bench the kid that your organization invested in, which wasn't necessarily his guy, but the Jets invested in Zach Wilson? Chief and I, you and I, we've been talking about the talent that this Jets roster has. The defense is really, really good. Sauce Gardner's the man, and he's just the tip of the iceberg. That front seven has been good for like 2 years, and we saw flashes of it last season. And we've seen Mike White play a little bit. We've seen a bunch of peaks. We've seen some valleys. I can objectively tell you that right now he's the better quarterback than Zach Wilson. I don't know if he's the long-term solution for the Jets. He was fantastic against Chicago. He's the best option right now for the New York Jets. I don't know if he's the long-term guy, but you know what this feels like in a weird way? In a loaded AFC, this feels like I'm thinking of two analogies and two, I don't want to call it anomalies, but we saw a bunch of ceiling plays. We saw some sparks. In the NBA, about 12 years ago, we saw Linsanity take over the league for 6 months. He was phenomenal. And then he became an above-average pro who had a nice little career, dealt with some injuries, but he was a pro in the league. But this, in a more direct, correlated analogy, I'm getting some Nick Foles taking over for the Eagles vibes when they went on a serious run, and he played out of his freaking mind. He was throwing absolute darts in the playoffs, knocking off the Vikings and the whole nine, and of course, they beat Tom Brady. And then he regressed pretty mightily. And was an average to at times below average quarterback and, you know, became a backup. But I kind of feel like the Mike White spark is real. I think this team has explosive short-term potential who could really spoil someone's home game in the first round of the AFC playoffs. It might be my Titans. It might be someone else. I think this is a dangerous Jets team right now. And you can't tell me that after just watching some highlights and watching some videos and looking at Twitter that this locker room is not behind Mike White. They are completely bought in.
Well, here's the thing. The easiest way, in football especially, in my opinion, I was more a product of a basketball locker room than a football locker room, which is, in my opinion, is totally different. Less people. Probably a little bit more personality because there's one ball and there's 15 players. And you get what I'm saying? Like in football, the defense is a unit, right? And they're working together to ensure that they can hold the other team from scoring points. And when you're an elite defensive unit and you know it, offenses tend to make you frustrated when they can't put up points, right? Like that's like, look at the Broncos. And look at the Jets, and look at what happened with the Broncos this week against Carolina. I promise I'm headed somewhere where, you know, you see a player literally screaming at Russell Wilson on the sideline, right? And you see last week, if you watch the clips where, of course, Zach Wilson says, you know, they said, hey, you know, do you think this is on you? You think, you know, got his first one? No, not at all, right? That's his statement. No, not at all. And then the coach says, okay, I'm sure players were saying, coach, he's got to go. Like, just get Mike in there. Like, coach, Zach Wilson's got to go, right? So Zach Wilson loses the football locker room. In comes Mike White. In a general sense, are the Bears as good as the Jets? No. And so here's what happens in football, Luke. If the other team's not as good as you, you need to win convincingly. Not only did Mike White have this team winning convincingly, Luke, it was raining the whole game. The Jets put up 31 points. Mike had over 200 yards passing in the first half, pretty much. Garrett Wilson got his. Elijah Moore got his. Everybody's running around screaming and happy. Who cares if it was the Bears, right? You can only play who's in front of you, and you've got to beat the team that you're supposed to beat. And they did it convincingly. Like that's what stood out to me. This wasn't like a 17-10 win. Do you know how good the defense felt when they were holding the Bears to 10 points and the Jets just kept scoring? They had the juice, right? They were excited.
They sustained their drives, finally. They were able to breathe.
I mean, when the defense gets to sit on the sideline and actually watch the offense have some explosiveness and some excitement, they're more rested and they're having more fun as a team.
I can tell you nobody felt better than Robert Saleh after that game, because if that game went poorly, if they got blown out or didn't score an offensive touchdown, could you imagine the New York media after that one?
Oh, man. Here's the thing. Here's what I'm looking forward to. Believe it or not, I actually want to watch the Jets play this week. And why. They get to play the Minnesota Vikings on the road. Even if they lose, Luch, even if they lose, if the score is like 28-24, I don't think anybody's going to have any complaints. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, and if they win, my goodness, it's going to be Mike Wright season. And I think he's the quarterback for the rest of the season anyway. But if they win this game on the road in Minnesota, it's going to be exciting times in the Jets locker room. I can tell you that right now.
Did you organically nickname him Mike White, Mike Wright? Mike White is right. Mike White is right. He is right. I like it. You know what? And I had their schedule pulled up. And I think I'll be able to segue this thing pretty nicely because I, you know, coming off the bye week, my ADD is lessened. I'm a little fresh right now. But you look at their schedule. They don't play any tough defenses except Buffalo. Minnesota can't stop the pass. At Buffalo is the one I'm looking at. They got Tre'Davious White back for the first time this season last week. So big win for the Bills getting White. Another guy named White. This is the Mike White, Tre'Davious White podcast, I suppose. But big win for him. Top corner in the league, you know, first time playing football in the year. Detroit, Jacksonville, Seattle, and then at Miami. We know Miami can put up points. Their defense is okay. But that last game of the season against Miami could really dictate some playoff positioning, and we won't really know the postseason layout until that game is solidified, most likely. So favorable schedule for Mike White to not stink is what I'm saying. So, like, no matter what, I don't think he'll look like the all-time wrong answer. I think he should go into next season with a chance to compete at least.
No. Listen, if they go to the playoffs and win a playoff game, he's coming in the next season as the starter. There's no – unless they go out and hear what I'm saying, not what I'm not saying, like trade and get like an upper echelon quarterback, like, you know.
Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Oh, no. There was rumors with Aaron Rodgers linked to
NIJ. And let me clear that up. That's not an indictment on Aaron Rodgers. I just don't think he's leaving. He's owed too much money.
I understand.
Yeah, I mean, no need to tie up all that money in an old, deteriorating quarterback.
I agree. But
I'm saying if Mike has them winning, they don't have to pay him nearly as much money as they've got to pay somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, they could have a gem on their hands. Like, is he going to end up being the best quarterback in New York? Not Buffalo. I don't want anybody. I know Buffalo's in New York. I'm saying between the Giants and the Jets. I mean, to me, he looks better than Danny Dimes right now. Danny Dimes has got wheels and he's got mobility. But Mike White looks more like a quarterback.
Mike White is right.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my next segue. And this is going to be a long week in review because there's so much to tie in, multiple weeks in review. We just saw the Eagles and the Packers play primetime Sunday Night Football. Previous to that, now we can talk about both these teams. Prior to that, our last podcast that we did, or maybe it wasn't, I don't know, two podcasts ago, we looked at the Eagles' upcoming schedule. We said, when the hell are they going to lose? I circled the Indy game because they could run the ball. Sure as hell, Jeff Saturday, former all-pro offensive lineman, comes in and they realize, hey, we could still run the snot out of the football with Jonathan Taylor. And the Colts are in the chase again. The AFC is pretty loaded and they have some ground to make up, but they're, you know, look now, they're a 500 football team again, and the national media will absolutely eat it up in a week or two if they get another win against Pittsburgh. But Indianapolis brought them the Eagles right down to the wire, and the Eagles did what good football teams do, and they won the football game. But they lost against the Commanders, who were hotter than hell. Another quarterback change. And Ron Rivera had to make another pretty brutal decision and say, you know, even if Carson Wentz is healthy, Heineke's the guy. And the Commanders, look at that NFC East. So I'm tying together a couple different things here. The decision for Heineke, who the entire locker room is fully behind no matter what happens. And the fact that the Eagles keep winning football games, but we saw where they can be exploited in the run game. You know, the Packers, if they did anything really well, it was run the football against Philadelphia. Jordan Davis is slated to come back against King Henry next week. So that is a much welcome sight for Philadelphia. So a lot of things I'm tying together here. We're starting to see a pretty picture here, but we'll start with the Philadelphia Eagles. And they just keep winning football games, Chief. So where do you power rank the Eagles now, and what have you saw out of them the last couple of weeks?
So here's the thing. The Eagles keep winning. And that's the NFL, right? Like, how many of these weird games can you win enough to put yourself in a position to, one, have home field advantage? So even as of right now, Philly's beating the Cowboys, right? So it doesn't matter how we feel about them. If they keep winning, all roads go through Philly, right? Like, that's basically how this thing is set up. And do you think Philly has enough juice to continue to beat teams? Well, here's what I've seen the past 2 weeks, Luke, that I think we did see in the prior couple weeks. Don't look now. Hurts is starting to run the football a lot more than he was the past couple weeks. And so what that's translating to, in my opinion, is more points on the board. And so I think that until the defense catches up, do I think the defense will catch up? I think at some point they're going to be able to get pressure again. But as we've talked about, like, their linebackers are never elite. And they've lost Gardner Johnson for a while. So they've got to figure out how they're going to make the defense reasonable, or I think productive, while they've got some of these kind of injuries that are holding them back, I think. And I think that's what's happened the past 2 weeks. Like, they do have some injuries that, quite frankly, are holding them back in their secondary. But, you know, the offense is going to have to put up points now, right? They can't score 17, 20 points. I think this offense has got to score 24 to 28 points to continue to win games. And I think they can do that. And as we've seen the past couple weeks, Jalen Hurts' legs are – they're starting to carry the team here a little bit, get them, you know, put them in some favorable down and distance situations. Or, like, as we saw last night, I mean, he picked up a 3rd-and-6 with a quarterback draw. Like, Third and six. He just picked it up with his legs. So to answer your question, until Philly loses again, I think all roads go through Philly no matter what. Now, and that's my read on it. They're still East. They're still leading the NFC. And until they lose again, I can't legitimately say anything other than that.
Yeah. Jalen Hurts is a beast. They essentially have a two-game lead right now for the number one seed because they have the tiebreaker with the Vikings. At some point of this season, Nick Sirianni is going to have to look at Jalen Hurts. If the Eagles are keeping pace and it's like week 16, 17, hey, bud, we need you in the pocket. For the love of God, stay healthy. We just, at some point, if it's the end of the season and the games are like semi-meaningful but not as crucial, we might see some injury management, even if the guys...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Are still playing? We might see Jalen Hurts uncharacteristically not run the ball as much kind of thing. Because we already saw that. Being healthy at the right damn time. Sometimes timing is everything. Dallas Goedert's going to have to get back up to speed. They haven't had him. He is such a great security blanket for Jalen Hurts. You know, Jordan Davis coming back defensively. He was a big blow. A young guy making huge impact defensively. The Eagles have a great pass rush. The linebackers are their Achilles heel. And the secondary is pretty damn good if Slay's healthy. But we saw some teams run the football against them. The thing with the Eagles is, offensively, like these, and I know we're going to probably inevitably talk about this at some point, none of these guys have really been there. Been in the grind, in the playoff atmosphere, it's fantastic to be at home. Like, being at home takes a lot less pressure off you, obviously. A.J. Brown's the guy who's been there the most, you know? Of course, you got some of these offensive linemen. They're going to have to be the leaders in the situation. Lane Johnson, you know, a couple other guys up front that have been there and have won. We're going to have to see some mature play, because I feel like every time the Eagles have lost or have come really close to losing is just some dumb mental mistakes. Like A.J. Brown not totally holding on to that ball while they didn't blow the whistle, like didn't have it covered up with two hands, and the Packers take it the other way. Like just anomaly type stuff where maybe there's a brief mental lapse.
Listen, that's why they lost to Washington.
I was going to say Washington, some just lapses. The Texans gave them a run for their money through a couple quarters, and there was just some brutal stuff going on with, you know, not connecting. So being healthy at the right time and, you know, being mature enough to react before thinking for some of these guys, I think is going to be huge. I think the Eagles are a powerhouse. I really do. And, you know, I think it's going to be a tough game with, you know, Tennessee coming up, and we'll talk to them momentarily. So give me some final thoughts on the Eagles. And if you want to talk about the Packers at all, I mean, that's fine, but we don't have
to. No, we don't have to talk about the Packers this week. They've soaked up enough of our time.
Okay. Fair enough. Eagles looking mighty good. Tennessee and the Bengals were the only teams playing, at least in the 1 o'clock window, with winning records against each other. I didn't look at all the records throughout the entire week. But it was a really competitive game, fairly low scoring. The Bengals just have Tennessee's number right now. That's all I can say. And, you know, 20-16 ball game, Chief. You know, Tennessee couldn't establish the run. My takeaway,
I was shocked. Derrick Henry only had, what, 30-something yards rushing. I mean, it was some – I mean, literally, that I was shocked.
How good, though? And I don't come on this podcast and give Ryan Tannehill props, but he looked very good against Green Bay, who I know this is the furthest thing from a Green Bay podcast, but their pass defense is pretty good. You know, Derrick Henry wasn't great in that game either. He didn't have 100 yards. He killed a bunch of my SGPs. You go against Cincinnati, and, you know, Tannehill looked pretty good, didn't make any mistakes. Traylon Burks is alive, Chief. And
yeah, got a big pass late, too.
Yep. The bottom line is the Bengals were the better team. Tennessee was 0-for-4 in the red zone in terms of scoring touchdowns. And that's, you're not going to win many football games when offenses come hard to come by. Another team whose offense has struggled most of the year, shows some signs lately, but you don't see anybody going at each other's throat on the sideline. Mike Vrabel's culture, that's the difference right now, between a team like Tennessee and the New York Jets, I think. Because you have the culture. Everyone is bought in. There hasn't been much turnover, right? Tennessee knows their identity. And I think the Jets are dangerous. I think Tennessee's a little bit more dangerous. I will say this, though. The Bengals are absolutely playing good football, and we need to give their defense, some love too. Another game without Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon, the Bengals made one or two more splash plays in Tennessee and got it done. I won't be a full believer in the Titans until they get rid of offensive coordinator Todd Downing, because he's just awful. Fresh off his DUI last week, called a terrible game. We won't get into that. But this Titans defense has played, let's see, 8 straight games without giving up more than 3 touchdowns. So I look at Tennessee and I look at the Jets. I look at the entire AFC. I look at, I look at Baltimore, even though we'll get to that. I think the Chiefs are the favorite, and they should be. You know, the Bills, we've had some question marks here. The Titans could get in, the Jets could get in and do some damage because they play great defense. They like to control the clock, and they don't make errors. So I think we're going to see the most exciting NFL playoff that we've seen in, a decade.
Here's what I'm going to say. And it's just to kind of put a little attachment to what you're talking about. I think right now, if I had to pick the best two teams in the AFC in terms of overall performances for the past 5 weeks, it's Kansas City and it's Miami, and it's not close. Like, those are the top two teams. It's those two. Listen, man. So here's my thing. I can't stress enough how crucial it is that Miami barely played their starters in the second. They basically had another bye week is what happened. Like, if you think about it, Luke, they played in the first half. Tua had about 300 passes in the first half, almost, right? And he really kind of doesn't play. Jeff Wilson, doesn't get it done for us in the props department last week. You know, legs locked up on him. Went to the locker room, came back, had a couple carries, but he didn't play a lot. Like, this team is going to be fresh for their next game coming up. And look, they didn't care. Like, Houston was kind of mounting this comeback, a mini comeback against some of the backups. The coach didn't care. He's like, look, I'm not playing my starters anymore today. You guys do what you want to do. You're not going to win this game. Like, big swagger move by the coach to just pull your starters in the third quarter. Like, huge to say, we're not going to allow anything crazy to happen to our players in a game. Because here's what he told his team, basically, when he did that. We're going to win this game. I'm not even worried. You guys, we've already got this game under control. Kudos to the coach for not being afraid to pull these guys, knowing that, guess what? Next week, we got to play the 49ers in San Francisco. Like, what a call by the coach, man. I can't stress enough.
That's a great segue, because we're going to have to tie in some look-aheads with some, you know, reviews here. This is the stretch I've been waiting for. The West Coast trip for Miami, at San Francisco, at Chargers, coming home for the Bills. This is where we're going to really see what Miami's made out of. And if they go through this and win 2 out of 3 games at minimum, you better get your futures in right now while they're still reasonable.
We got ours in 2 weeks ago. I got to think the odds have changed some. Because we got them at, what, plus 700, plus 800. Like, we got it at good plus money. We're getting close.
So I'm excited. I'm excited to see Mike McDaniel, Tua, those shiny new cars out there, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek. I'm excited for this 3-game stretch, man. We're going to see some fantastic football. We're going to see what Miami can really do across the country and then coming home for the Bills. I'm so pumped for this for them. On the flip side,
San Fran. This is the game, though. To me, this is the game. Because you're going to see two offenses that are going to play about the same. Defense is going to get it done.
Yeah, now San Fran, don't look now. Here we go. Shiny new toy and Christian McCaffrey. The offense is healthy. The defense has been playing phenomenally well. So
yeah. They won yesterday 13-10, and they didn't even have to blow the top off their offense yesterday. Like, it's
they shut out.
Excuse me. I said 13-10. I meant 13-0. Not 10, 13-0. In a national football game. I know Andy Dalton's the quarterback. Don't get me wrong. Saints aren't good. Don't get me wrong. Should the 49ers probably have scored more points? Absolutely. But the defense still held these guys at 0 points.
Takeaways.
In a national football
takeaways. Game. They're forcing Alvin Kamara to fumble. That doesn't happen. Like, multiple takeaways. These guys are beasts. I love that Niners defense. DeMeco Ryans. Someone make this man a head coach. Somebody hire this guy.
Yeah.
Give him a shot. And you know what? If he's more suited to be a coordinator the rest of his career, so be it. Someone will take him in a heartbeat, like we talked about.
Absolutely.
Look
at Dan Quinn. The Cowboys picked up Dan Quinn, and suddenly this defense is flying around. Now, they probably got to fix some of their run defense, but guess what? When he had the Legion of Boom, it was the same thing. They're going to be great. You're not going to be able to throw them well, and maybe you'll rattle off a couple runs. But, yeah, man. Defense is flying around. They're playing well.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
I mean, look, smart of the 49ers to go back and pick up their ex-girlfriend. Because if they did not, I mean, wow. What kind of situation would they be in if they didn't go back and get Jimmy? It'd be ugly. I mean, who are they going to go out and get? Seriously. Like, and look, I think this is – it's interesting to see, like, Trey Lance was there. I know he got hurt. But I think Jimmy's going to have this team in a better position than Trey Lance would have had this team in, no matter what. Like, Jimmy's a professional quarterback. Now, is he Tom Brady? No. Is he Josh Allen? No. Is he Jalen Hurts? No, right? But he's a professional. Is he Kirk Cousins? Maybe. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm serious here. Like, Kurt isn't elite. Kurt is some elite quarterback, in my opinion. I think he's been given the keys. He's got a good arm, but he's not elite. And so that's how I view Jimmy.
The Homer comparison, the Kirk Cousins comparison is great. I kind of view him as Ryan Tannehill, who is balling right now, but Garoppolo has arguably the best skill weapons in the league outside of Miami and maybe even better. And he's got a fantastic, fantastic scheme, an offensive genius. And Shanahan is a monster.
But doesn't that make the quarterbacks anyway? Like,
yes, that's what I'm saying.
And look, I've got a reference for scheme. So we look at Fields. And he looks like the worst draft pick ever until they changed the scheme. They changed the scheme, changed the play calling, and then suddenly he looks like the best draft pick out of that draft and went too late, which was true anyway. But my point is, when coaches quit trying to put their scheme on the quarterback and have a scheme for the quarterback rather than their scheme and try to fit them in, the success typically follows. And then you can give them pieces, right, of what you're trying to do as they progress better in the league. Now, yeah, should, you know, does Justin Fields have an injury? Yes, it's part of that because, you know, probably he's been running around a little bit too much. Yes. But does the offense look better when he's out in space? Yes. It's, you know, so scheme is everything, man. And you end up in the right scheme and it can change your career.
Look at that Tannehill. I know Arthur Smith has taken a lot of criticism with Kyle Pitts and everything, but look at that Titans offense when Arthur Smith was the OC. I mean, you see a world of difference, you know? If the Titans scored 24 points a game this year, they'd be 9-1. San Fran is my favorite team to, like, spoil the Eagles or the Vikings, you know, miraculous starts to the season. Not miraculous, but just historic, honestly. It's been a long time since Philly and Minnesota both were playing this breed of football and have sported the records they've had, you know, over 2/3 of the way through the season. San Fran is suddenly just outside of 6-1 to win the Super Bowl now. So you're not going to get a ton of value there anymore. But, you know, with Miami, with the Jets, and maybe even Tennessee at 35-1, you know, if you believe in defense and Derrick Henry, those are maybe your value spots right now. Before we, you know, look ahead, we have so much we could cover and we could tie some things in. How about the Minnesota Vikings, though? I mean, what can you say? They get demolished by Dallas, right? We saw that. They have to come back and play on prime time against Thanksgiving. And they beat above average New England team. It wasn't pretty, but the Vikings get the job done. Should we – and Justin Jefferson, I mean, good Lord, just an animal.
Everybody, take a number and get in line. It doesn't matter who it is.
Should we be talking about Minnesota more? Can you view them as serious contenders?
Listen, I'm not discounting Minnesota. I don't believe in Kirk Cousins long term. And look, I could be wrong here, but here's what I think happens. Kirk Cousins just he's going to have a turnover at the wrong time, and it's going to cost him. But because of all the great things he does outside of that turnover at the wrong time, it gets overlooked and he'll be a Minnesota Viking again next season. But that's Kirk Cousins, man. He's going to give you the big plays, but when it matters most, like I'm afraid Kirk Cousins is going to throw the turn. I'm afraid the turnover is going to be there. I really am. If Justin Jefferson doesn't bail him out with a one-hand catch against a defender on what, 4th-and-19 or whatever it is, like they've already lost another game.
Well, he has 9 picks this year. We can say that.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's my point. Like the turnovers have always been there.
And, you know, I'm looking at the interceptions this season. You can say, oh, I'd rather have Kirk Cousins and Tannehill or Garoppolo, but Tannehill and Garoppolo both have half of the turnovers that Cousins does. And, you know, is that the difference between maybe wanting one of those quarterbacks slightly more than Kirk Cousins to lead your team?
Possibly. I think that's the difference in them winning games that maybe they could not have won. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, when – okay, for instance, let's go back to the playoffs last year. And I know we got to get out of here at some point, but – what cost the Tennessee Titans a playoff game?
Poor quarterback play. Turnovers.
Exactly. Imagine if Ryan Tannehill just played how he did during the regular season. Just don't turn the ball over. We might be having a totally different discussion about last playoffs.
The Titans could have lived with that 100 yards he threw for, but he threw 3 interceptions. First play of the game, and then when the game was almost wrapped up in the fourth quarter. So you're absolutely right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It's hard to buy in, but so we didn't really get to talk about the Ravens collapse into the Jaguars, but so Baltimore's hosting Denver. And what's going on with the Ravens? I mean, Justin Tucker, best kicker in the planet,
almost hit a 70-yarder. I mean, I look, Justin's still the best kicker in the league, period.
Baltimore's a strange team to handicap and figure out at this point.
Well, here's the thing, though. Are we blameless?
This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep-sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, any place, make snack time playtime with Funnables fruit snacks. Have fun. Eat it, too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
On Lamar, or are we going to blame it on the defense? The Ravens scored 27 points on the road. Like, they scored 27 points. They were up in that game. The defense has got to stop the Jaguars. Like, that bottom line. You know what I mean? Like, you know, did Lamar miss some throws yesterday? Absolutely. Like, he missed one. I think it was I think DeMarcus was running up the field and wide open. He just missed. I think that's who it was. But even still, this offense put up 27 points, and they let Trevor Lawrence just come back and pick him apart late. You can't do that. The defense has got to play better.
Tough one. Tough season for the Bills. They choked a couple of crazy games away in the fourth quarters of, you know, the first quarter of the season. And we could be having a totally different discussion about Baltimore. They could be fighting for the one seed, you know, if they didn't piss a couple of those games away early on. So let's run down a couple big games and we can talk about real quickly, you know, what your thoughts are on them. Washington and the New York Football Giants, suddenly a huge game. Vegas has them as the Commanders as 1.5-point road favorites. Who do you like in this game?
Right now, I got to take Commanders, man. Defense is playing good. Running game is getting going. Taylor Heinicke is still a problem. Like, you know, he's going to over some guys. He's going to throw some guys. The turnover is going to be there for Heinicke as well. But the defense and the running game has been playing well enough, and that's what's been getting them out of these games. I'm going to trust their defense again, even on the road, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, I'm with you. For me, it's strength versus weakness. In terms of Washington wants to run the ball, they do, and the Giants can't stop the run. And strength versus strength is the Giants need some kind of run game, and Washington funnels the run. They're going to make Daniel Jones throw the football. I'm with you. Jets and the Vikings, give me a winner and why. We'll go a little lightning round here before we do GPP.
I'm going Jets. I believe in Mike. Like Mike. I got to be like Mike. Be like Mike. If you guys don't know what that is, just go look it up. It's an old Michael Jordan commercial. I believe Mike has this team feeling like winners. I'm rolling with the Jets with the upset against the Vikings. Remember what I said, the turnover will come at the wrong time for Kirk Cousins. I'm going with the Jets.
Can't wait to see Sauce versus Jefferson. Might be a big TJ Hockenson target game. We'll see. I'm rolling with the Jets, too. Give me the Mike White. Give me the Linsanity vibes and Nick Foles vibes. Make me a believer. Let's get the hype train out of control. Give me Mike White. Tennessee and Philadelphia, I don't know how to handicap the Titans. They always win games they shouldn't. You know, you can run the ball against Philly. 5.5-point favorites are the Eagles. I think it's going to be a close game. Listen, you know me. I'm a Titans fan. I still think Eagles win 2017.
I like that call. I think Eagles win on a late drive. That's my read on this game. Eagles on a late drive.
If you give Tennessee one stupid chance, like if we see one of those miscues by Philly that they gave Green Bay, though, very possible Tennessee just runs the snot out of the football and it's a different story here. A.J. Brown's been circling this game for a while. Very good possibility he hangs like a 6-150 and 2-touchdown game against Tennessee.
It'd be nice if he did. Go ahead and complete my season-long over 100-yard games this season.
He's been MIA for a while. So, you know,
yeah, I took him over 2.5. He's at 2. Almost had 3. One of the games was at like 94, 95. I'm like, man, just get one more pass. But they had the game in control.
Miami, 3.5-point road dogs at San Francisco. Big one in the late 4 o'clock window. Let me hear it.
Give me the Miami Dolphins. I'm a believer. I'm a believer in Tua. I'm a believer in the swag of the team. I'm a believer in the coaching staff. I'm a believer in Tyreek Hill. I'm a believer in Jaylen Waddle. Nothing puts more pressure on a defense outside than speed. I don't care how good this defense has been. There isn't a speed demon team in the league that's close to Waddle and Tyreek. I like what we're seeing here. Give me the Dolphins and I'll set at 4 o'clock.
I think Vegas got it right. I'm buying into both, but I'm a little bit more of a believer in San Fran at home. I think they're going to hit Miami in the mouth just a little bit more. Give me 24-21 San Fran. Make me a believer, Tua. I will buy in with this road win. One more game here, then we'll do GPP food of the day and story time and get out of here, Chief. Kansas City at Cincinnati, 425. Love this one. Love this one. A little bit of a rematch for Kansas City. The Bengals are humming even without Ja'Marr Chase. I think he'll be back that game is my best guess. We could see Cincinnati with their skill guys back here. Who do you like in this game? Is the Chiefs defense good enough to take them all the way this year, by the way? Are they?
Yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs, man. Like they're the best. Chiefs and Dolphins, I said it. I feel like they're the best two teams in the AFC. I think the Chiefs are going to – I think they pull this game off easily. This defense is not going to slow down Patrick Mahomes. I think they give it to Patty Mahomes with about 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and game is over.
Yeah, I think it's pretty close, but I like the Chiefs. They have a run game. They are committing to running the ball for the first time in quite some time. Pacheco looks really good. Jerick McKinnon kind of has his little gadgety flow, a little receiving back action out of there. You know, Edwards-Helaire is out of the picture finally. We don't got to worry about, you know, getting him involved. Clearly, he's not the guy. Juju's back healthy. But these other guys, you know, the quote-unquote collection of guys that this organization has brought in to help put a Band-Aid over the absence of Tyreek have been great. Valdes-Scantling was great last week. You know, if you can give him that, if you give Pat Mahomes that, we're good. And Sky Moore is really starting to step up. So, yeah, you absolutely love to see that. Give me the Chiefs. You got anything for GPP Food of the Day or story time before we get out of here, Chief?
Listen, man, my GPP food of the day, my mother-in-law cooked me a really good sweet potato pie. Shout out to Mom Murray. Love her so much. And it's exceptional. I could taste the blend of vanilla, cinnamon. Oh, it was so good. Sweet potato pie for the win, my friend.
I was in beautiful Siesta Key, Florida for the holidays, and I love going to the Daiquiri Deck on Siesta Key. Great, strong, frozen drinks, great wings, best wings on Siesta Key. At the Daiquiri Deck, believe it or not. Shout out to bartender Chaz. You're the man. If you're in the Daiquiri Deck in Siesta Key, ask for Chaz. My man, we chopped up about fantasy football all week while I was there for happy hour. Good stuff, Chaz. When I came home to the Poconos this weekend, my beautiful girlfriend who surprised me with dinner, we went out to dinner, had a bunch of different kinds of steak right here in Bethlehem, PA. So all those dating etiquette clips we had earlier in the year, looks like I passed with at least a passing grade. Someone's able to put up with me, so that's nice. Anyway, I'm thankful for her. Shout out to you, Taylor. Thank you. It's been good chatting with you, my friend. Where can the people find you on Twitter?
At ChiefJustice06 on Twitter.com.
Check me out at the J. Carlucci. We will catch you next week. Can't wait to see what unravels this coming week in NFL football. A lot of big games. It's going to be exciting. So for the Chief, Will Priester, I'm the Luch, Justin Carlucci. Have a good week and good luck, everybody.